Welcome back. Our OTR guest this week is State Senator Curtis Sertell Jr., who's got some problems with the Senate Republicans. Our lead story, the post-debate over the governor's state of the state and a communication gap between she and the Republican leaders. On the OTR panel, we have Kyle Malin, Lauren Gibbons, and Rick Pluta. Sit in with us as we get the inside out off the record.
Production of Off the Record is made possible in part by the following. Business Leaders for Michigan has a strategic plan to make Michigan a top 10 state in the nation for jobs, personal income, and a healthy economy. Learn more at michigansroadtotop10.com. And now, this edition of Off the Record with Tim Skubick.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to our Zoom edition of Off the Record. A really busy week. We had State of the State. We had news conferences after that. But first, let's say hello to our panel this morning, the illustrious group of Kyle Malin, Lauren Gibbons with the fish in the tank. How many fish you got in there, Lauren?
Oh, right now there's probably like five or six in there.
Do they consume one another or not?
Not usually.
Okay, enough of that. And say hello to Rick Pluta. Nice to have the three of you on board. A little bit later on, Senator Curtis Sertell would join us. But right now, a communication gap. As if the governor and the Republican leaders in the legislature don't have enough problems over COVID, we can now add this. How are they talking to one another or not?
At the end of her State of the State message last night, the governor spoke directly to the two Republican legislative leaders.
Now, to the legislative leaders tuning in, our job now is to fix the damn road ahead, together.
And today, those two Republican legislative leaders spoke back to her.
I was glad to hear the governor say she wanted to work in a bipartisan manner. That's what the people of this state are hungry for. They're tired of political bickering. So I look forward to her new spirit of cooperation.
The governor counters she's not the one who's been bickering.
I've taken a lot of heat. I've taken a lot of ugliness my way. I don't return fire because I know this. At the end of the day, we have to do what we can to find some common ground.
But the Republican leaders have some advice for the governor. The Senate Republican leader says the governor needs to start talking to him.
Since March 13th of last year, I've been invited to one conversation with the governor, but invited to many presentations. The point being this, you can't govern, you can't acknowledge input from others by doing one-way, one-sided presentations. It requires a conversation.
The governor counters she's already doing that.
You know, whether it is principal to principal or at the staff level, we've got ongoing conversations happening.
The Republicans argue, for example, if they had been consulted beforehand, they could have helped the governor with the bouncy rollout of the COVID vaccine program. But, quote, there was not one conversation.
But I guarantee you, when you're talking about different solutions, it almost always results in improving the best one. And we may even, at the end, disagree on the final solution, but at least people had a chance to have input. And that is not happening, and that is not what people of Michigan signed up for when they elected this governor.
So it's pretty clear this trio does not agree on the quality of their dialogue. And it's equally as clear if they don't clean it up, it'll be tough to pass anything.
All right, so Kyle, how serious is this communication thing, or is this just a half a day story?
No, this isn't a half a day story, Tim. This has been going on for well over a year now. I would say a year and a half. The relationship between the legislative leaders and the governor really haven't improved since the fallout over the damn roads and the governor's 45-cent a gallon gas tax increase. You know, I think, specifically Mike Shirkey and Governor Whitmer, they started off very well. They worked together well in getting a no-fault auto insurance proposal passed. But something happened during the discussion on a gasoline tax. I think the governor felt like she went above and beyond and letting Mike Shirkey get a win with that reformed auto no fault. I mean, she didn't get a unanimous support on the Democratic side and her supporters in signing that. And I think she felt like Mike Shirky didn't go far enough or was willing to bargain enough. He took kind of a, I'll give you 15 cents and that's as far as I'm going, end of story, done. And she thought it was going to be more of a negotiation and that she was going to be able to get something higher. It's just gone downhill from there, Tim. This relationship has gone from distrust to just simply not talking at all. They work through their staff during the lame duck period. Something does have to change here. It's hard to imagine that they're going to be able to go through another 2 years by simply not talking to each other.
Yeah, and to echo Kyle's sentiments, this is going to be an ongoing issue. And I think one of the, you know, storylines that we need to be following here is how this impacts the supplemental spending for COVID-19, as well as the next state budget conversation. Now, since the pandemic began, one area that has seemed to be easier to reach bipartisan consensus on was the money. There was a budget that passed with relatively little public fanfare. We had a bipartisan supplemental go through at the end of the year that had a little bit more pushback. But it does appear that this cycle, that federal funding, the plan that the governor put forward, you know, there's at least several Republicans in the caucus that want to somehow tie the federal spending to new actions by the administration. So that is obviously not going to go over well with the administration. So it remains to be seen how this continues to impact the spending portion of this. But if it does, that's money that's going to schools, vaccines, very important piece of legislation. So I think that that's something we'll all need to be watching for.
There was a culture set after the auto insurance negotiation where Republicans came to conclude that they could just wait Governor Whitmer out. And even though Speaker Wentworth wasn't in charge then, he was in the legislature. And that sort of became the de facto Republican position in the legislature. Then along came the COVID-19 crisis, and the governor assumed a lot of unilateral authority to deal with that, to the chagrin and frustration of Republicans. And they've been trying to sort of push her off that point ever since. And I mean, with some success that they've had some court victories, but at the same time, the governor has been able to pivot from the authority of her executive authority to the authority of the Department of Health and Human Services, and we'll have the director later on to, the director's husband later on to talk at least a little bit about the legislative side of that dispute. And so now there's just been this kind of, you know, immovable object, unmovable force, trying to push the other down, and we will see how this plays out in terms of COVID response, especially as, you know, these executive orders are, rescinded or expire.
The interesting thing here, when I talked to the governor the other day, she was quite candid about this Senate relationship. Quote, the relationship needs a lot of work, which is an understatement. And now we have just an ugly ping pong game going on back and forth. On just literally hours before the governor delivered a bipartisan State of the State address, what did the Senate Republicans do? They stiffed her by blocking 13 appointments to boards and commissions. And as Mr. Shirky explained yesterday, it was not to make a score a point. It was to make a point that, Governor, we want this conversation. So who's going to blink first here, Kyle, or what needs to be done? Do we need some adult to come in the room with these three to tell them how to work together?
Honestly, Tim, I think they need to have a new subject to work on together, because I don't know if it's going to be the COVID response. The governor has gotten this far doing COVID-19 response by herself. And I don't know if she, and I don't mean to be rude on this, but I don't know if she feels like the legislative leaders are going to add valuable input in her decision-making process. I mean, she's been consulting with doctors and other governors and people of that authority. And I'm not quite sure that she values the legislative opinion on this, because I don't know if she really believes that they have anything to add. So I think that what they need is a new subject to work on. Last term, it was criminal justice reform. I don't know if there's anything more they could work on that front. But there needs to be something else that they can work on together. Maybe it's economic development or something like that. But this subject, we're just way too far down the road. And the governor's got her own set a time frame and how she's doing this and her own kind of kitchen cabinet. I don't know if they can work together on this particular issue, frankly.
Lauren, but doesn't, based on what those two leaders said yesterday, doesn't she have to bring them in, Kyle, with your statement notwithstanding, and at least, if you will, give them lip service to let them have some input?
And I think that big area that they've recognized is spending. They have to have a role in that spending process, and that seems to be the direction they're going. In addition, I've heard several folks mention using the tools in their toolbox, and I think they're looking at the tools in their toolbox, and they're looking at these Senate appointments, and they're looking at appropriations. And so, we'll see how they wield that as the conversations move forward. And I do think that they're going to continue trying, both through public pressure campaigns for areas of the COVID-19 response that they see are eliciting a public reaction. I think two of those areas are restaurants and high school sports seem to be the ones that they're focused on right now. So I think that moving forward, they will probably try to edge their way in or try to enact public policy through pressuring the administration, essentially.
Rick, let's pick up on that high school sport thing. This has really turned into a, shall we say, a sticky wicket for the governor?
It has, although even the governor has signaled that there could be some relaxing the restrictions on that. Getting back to Lauren's point that, what the Republicans did when they rejected those appointments is said that the appointments aren't just going to be bargaining about the appointments. The appointments are going to become a universal card to be played on whatever it is that the Senate Republicans want to negotiate on, which is an expansion of how that authority is traditionally used. They want horse trading on a number of issues, and high school sports could be one of them. And the governor, if she's going to play that game, which she will not want to, has to be very careful. I think that she's tacitly acknowledged this, that she doesn't give away the authority that she has and that her health department has to deal with a crisis that's always changing in its parameters.
Well, the governor made it clear in the news conference earlier this week that she was not going to barter the public health issue at the hands and at the throne of the Republicans in the Senate, who she basically said were reckless with this. And one of the gentlemen sitting on the Senate floor watching this unfold was the gentleman we're welcoming in right now, Senator Curtis Sertell Jr. Senator, welcome to the program, and it's nice to have you back. If there you are. How you doing, sir?
Good, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, give me a word. As you heard all that unfold on the Senate floor, what were you thinking?
Well, this is beyond what historically any role the Senate has ever played when it comes to appointments. I mean, the idea that we rejected people without even having a hearing, without seeing any of their qualifications. I would point out someone like Susanna Shkreli, who has a record of actually prosecuting cases of violence against children, who is a perfect choice to be the ombudsman for the state. I don't think anyone could argue that not having an ombudsman would make us safer. And the idea that they would reject a qualified person out of hand because of some political fight with the governor, I think is unconscionable.
Well, would you concede that they have the right to block nominations if they don't want to pass them in order to send her a message?
One, I don't think it's a proportional response. But two, what I would say is that just because you have the right to do something doesn't make it the correct thing to do. You know, since Michigan's history, this has never been how those processes have worked. And so, no, I don't think it's a proper role at all.
Kyle.
Senator, you've been in politics your entire life. How would you describe the partisanship that we're seeing right now at the Capitol?
I think, unfortunately, the partisanship that's in Washington, D.C. has trickled down to the Capitol. And, you know, at this point, everything from masks to a free and fair election have become political talking points. And I think that's, frankly, sad.
Is it as worse as you've ever seen it?
Well, I don't know. There have been tough times before, Kyle. I mean, you know, everyone talks about my dad and Paul Hillegons and when they were in shared power and how it was a wonderful time. And it was, but it was not a, a kumbaya moment at the beginning of that process. At one point, my dad talked about, you know, 20 pieces of silver and referring to somebody as Judas on the floor of the House. They tried to steal each other's members. At one point, Paul Hillegons was on the phone, hung it up, and he was so angry that one of his kids asked if Democrats were people. I mean, there have been tough times before. I feel like good people can find the way out of tough times, but certainly right now is beyond what I've seen recently.
Lauren.
Senator, at this point, after this week's actions, how worried are you that this partisanship is going to infiltrate conversations about getting that federal money to, you know, pay for vaccines and schools and various other issues?
Well, I think that is one of the most disappointing parts of this week. You know, so trying to hold hostage money for the vaccine rollout, trying to hold hostage money to invest in our schools that we know need to recover. I just don't understand how those things can be reasonable responses. And, you know, what they've asked is that the economy is open for those things to go out. What I would say is that not discounting the pain that certain businesses have been in throughout this process, because they certainly have. But as of Monday, the only things that I know are shut down are water parks and gentlemen's clubs. So at the end of the day, I mean, are we going to withhold money from vaccines and withhold money for our kids because water parks, which I don't think are operating right now, and gentlemen's clubs are shut down? I mean, I think at some point we have to be you know, reasonable and find a way. And that's I think the hardest part of all this is, you know, while I understand people's frustration with some of the orders, 50 states have all kinds of limitations on different areas of the economy in order to keep people safe. This is not only a Michigan thing. Certainly we've gone farther than others in certain cases. But the answer can't be that we have no restrictions and nothing has ever opened up. And so what I ask my Republican colleagues is, tell us what you're for. It's really easy to say what you're against. And what I've seen is, you know, they're against the mask mandate. They're against any restrictions on restaurants. They're against any orders that would protect the public health at all. And so at some point, you know, if they were willing to actually put out a real plan on what that looked like, then I think it would be a serious conversation. They haven't been. And so what we've seen over and over again is basically a attempt to use this for political reasons, but never to put out a plan of their own in that regard.
Rick.
Well, even though it's not my job to represent the Republican position, that what Republicans have said is, therefore, is a more regional, maybe county by county approach to dealing with this crisis. What they're for is reopening more aspects of the economy and giving people more options to make their own decisions on that. So, you know, just with, you know, that position represented. I was there during shared power, and it did get heated and difficult. And the resolutions to controversies were typically something along the lines of giving both sides, Republicans and Democrats, a win that they could go back to their constituencies and claim. So in this situation, what is a win-win where, you know, Republicans and Democrats, the Whitmer administration and the legislature's Republican majorities can go back and say, here's what we bargained in our favor?
Well, I think we've done that. I think we've done that through two budgets. I think we did that with no-fault reform. I mean, I think that you have to, that again, the, when you talk about the economy needs to be open as their answer, as of Monday, the only things that are still shut down in the economy, again, are water parks and gentlemen's clubs. I don't think there's anything beyond that. There are certainly restrictions on other places. And I guess we can debate what those restrictions should be, but the answer can't be none. So I actually don't have a problem with a regional approach. I don't think it should be managed on a county by county level, but I do think that because the virus doesn't know the political boundaries of the state. But I do think that it's reasonable to look at certain areas of the state and say that, you know, Washtenaw County, which has a new variant, should be different than up north, for example. But like the resolution we passed this week on school sports said that all of it has to be open, regardless of whether the variant is. I can't imagine that Washtenaw County should be treated the same as Kalkaska. So I think that there can be reasonable discussions there. I agree that with that. But, you know, I think the part of the problem is that they've never acknowledged when the governor has actually negotiated and come to the table. So, for example, the number one priority for the Senate Republicans last term was no-fault reform. They got it in the first 3 months of the session year and negotiated a bipartisan package. Since then, I have not seen the same give back. So if they want to receive the benefits of negotiating, they have to be willing to negotiate as well.
Senator, let's talk strategy in the state Senate. The Republicans currently have 20 votes. Have you guys, you and Mr. Ananick in the caucus, thought about picking off a couple of Republicans and add them to your votes, and you could pass some stuff that you want?
Listen, you know, there are very good people in the Senate Republican caucus, and we talk to them on a regular basis. I don't think any of them are switching parties tomorrow.
Well, I'm not asking them to switch parties. You're asking them to vote on your plan.
Well, the world doesn't work like that, as I think you know. I mean, the actual body is controlled by the majority party, and they would have to change their votes on procedural issues in order for that to change. And we'll keep having conversations, but I don't see anybody who's pushing to make that change.
All right, so there is no strategy, hidden strategy at some point to pop, say, we've got two Republican votes, now we can do what we want. You're ruling that out. Is that correct, sir?
I didn't say there's certainly no hidden strategy, no. I mean, I talk to my colleagues all the time, and I wish they would come over to my side on several issues, but I don't see a massive switch in who they are.
Okay, Kyle, go ahead.
All right. So, Senator, last week your wife was appointed the next Department of Health and Human Services director. Is it fair to say now the Hertels are the power couple in town?
I'm incredibly proud of my wife. She is one of the smartest people I know. She's one of the most dedicated public servants I know. And I'm incredibly proud of what she's done for state government and what she will do to lead us out of this pandemic. I think she was the perfect choice for the governor.
Some might say that this is a conflict, having her being the Health and Human Services Director, arguably the most powerful department in all of state government, and you being in the state Senate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the world can avoid it, that. We keep our lives separate at the dinner table. We have a lot more important things to talk about. We have four kids. So We've always kept our work separate. I have removed myself from the subcommittee that funds the Department of Health and Human Services. I think that was the appropriate thing to do. But short of that, I'm not going to resign from the Senate, and I would never stand in my wife's way of her career. So I'm not sure there are a whole lot of options there, Kyle.
Lauren?
Yeah, Senator. So you mentioned that there've been a lot of partisan battles in the legislature before. And what do you think it would take to maybe push through this current partisan rut here? Is there anything on your mind that you think could potentially break it, like a policy issue or anything that can be done at this point?
Well, I would hope it would be the recovery of the state. I mean, you look at Michigan, we've actually economically weathered COVID better than almost any state in the country. Consumer confidence is higher in Michigan than almost anywhere. And I believe that has a lot to do with people's trust in the governor to manage the virus and to save lives. But how we're going to get out of this, I think, is the most important thing. So to me, we should be able to all agree on investing in vaccine rollout. We should all be able to agree that investing in our kids' schools, we should all be able to agree to help small businesses that have been hurt through this process. We should be able to agree to help other employees. Those are things that we should all be able to work on.
Senator, I have to jump in. Are you game for staying for a little overtime?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. Let's go to the closed credits and then come back to WKAR.org for more of our conversation with Senator Curtis Sertel Jr. See you then.
Is made possible in part by the following. Business Leaders for Michigan has a strategic plan to make Michigan a top 10 state in the nation for jobs, personal income, and a healthy economy. Learn more at michigansroadtotop10.com. For more off the record, visit WKAR.org. Michigan Public Television stations have contributed to the production costs of Off the Record with Tim Skubick.